Open up to Romans chapter 1. This is going to be very much like a classroom setting. I recommended a book to you. It's a classic. It's called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. It's a classic. And it's about 100 years old now, getting close to it, I think. But the truth is just as, the truth is the truth. You know, truth does not change, okay? And I'm going to recommend another one to you today. It's another classic, a little more recent. And he actually references that book a lot. But it's the classic book, Healing the Sick, by T.L. Osborne. And you'll find he references the Christ the Healer quite a bit in it. And I think what's going on, now this is what I say I think, this is Gary thinking. This is not yea, thus saith the Lord, okay? So I'm interested in results. I believe the Lord is interested in results. And after us losing three last year, that long-time faithful people here at the prayer center to cancer, three in 1 year, that's enough, don't you think? That's enough. I dug in my heels, and I'm studying after people that made this work. I thank God for Pastor Dave. Dave has shared all that he know, you know, all that he has with us. Freely he has received, freely he's given. We've seen great results through his ministry, and I thank God for that. But when I said I think, see what's going? There's a transition happening now. In the 40s, when the great healing revivals were going on, you had men like Smith Wigglesworth. You had Oral Roberts and many, my mind is already on the list and I have trouble with names when I'm in this mood. But anyway, you know, the great healing evangelist, there was a wave of that that lasted quite a while. But this move that is coming is not going to be one man shows like that. Right. See, what's coming now, this is going to be an army with exactly the same equipping, exactly the same results every single time, because you're going to find out the gospel itself is the power of God. It is. See, and that's why I asked you to turn to Romans. 1:19 is the verse I want to look at here. 1:16. I always think of Peggy when I you know, our little 96-year-old Peggy that Elliot that comes to the conferences, flies here on her own. She's 96. Come on. They finally made her quit driving, I think, this last year. But up until this last year, Peggy, and she'll be listening, Peggy, I love you. She would get in her little vehicle, drive to the library, the town. They live out in the country. Download the messages. Yes, 95 years old. Drive to town, download the messages, put them on a thumb drive, drive back home, put them on her MP3 player where she could listen to the messages. And I want to hear your excuse. I don't know how to work that internet. You don't want to. I'm sorry, you just don't want to because you can. It's like everything else. Yeah, okay. Romans 1:16. Now, I am not ashamed. She wears that. The reason I brought up Peggy, she wears that shirt. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She wears it everywhere. For it is the power of God. Did you get that? It does not say it has the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Unto everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and it just means the gospel was first preached to them. And also to the Greek. Well, that's all the rest of us. Jew and Gentile. Now, the reason that verse, I was studying T.L. because, and nobody's perfect. You can, if you're a professional critic, you can pick apart anybody. But T.L. Osborne and his wife traveled to more than 90 countries, literally millions saved, millions healed. And by the way, he gave his books away by the ton, literally tons. Now here in America, they were for sale, but overseas, they usually gave them away by the tons. I read one story of a little preacher in Africa. This other evangelist met him in modern times, and he noticed that guy had an old book. The book was so old that now it was protected with duct tape. They're trying to keep it together, you know, and so the cover had become duct tape, if you know what I mean by that. trying to protect it. He said, what is that book? He said, that's Christ. You know, he said, that's Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. He said, T.L. gave it to my daddy when he got saved 20 years ago. My daddy preached out of it for 20 years. When he died, he gave it to me, and I'm preaching out of it now. See, the truth didn't change, does it? Say, the power of a book, a free book. How many people saved and healed over the years through Dave's book? Anyway. Now, Romans, let's read it again. Then I'm going to try and not run off on any more rabbit trails. Thank you, Lord. This lesson is supposed to be like a classroom setting today. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation, we automatically think new birth. But that comes from the Greek word sozo. Sozo includes salvation in every realm. Spiritual, it does include the new birth. It also includes your healing. When the blind man saw, he got sozoed. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed, she got sozoed. It's sozo and whatever. When your family gets healed, it got sozo. See, it's salvation in every realm. So T.L. Osborne, the reason I'm connecting these two things, here's one of his, a quote from him one time. He said, you know, the church focuses on praying for more power. But the truth of it is, the church doesn't need more power. The church needs more gospel. Now there it is. There it is. The gospel itself is the power of God. And I'm going to give you the end from the beginning where we're going here. See, the end is Mark 16, right at the end of it, where he commissioned them to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And it ends up by saying, they went everywhere and preached the gospel, the Lord working with and confirming the word. Or you could say the gospel. That is what the Holy Spirit works with. The gospel. T.L. Osborne would say about himself, he says, my wife and I are not real smart people. God probably has smarter people. But we're the ones that let him use us. I don't know about you, that gives me great encouragement. That gives me great encouragement. And the thing of it is, you can have the same gospel come from your lips as Oral Roberts had come from his lips, or T.L. Osborne had come from his lips. It is the gospel that is the power of God. But notice it says, to everyone that believes. The gospel is the power. We do not have to produce the power. See, that is the Lord's part of the covenant. Now, I don't mean now, I agree with what was recently said, my job is to pray, and the Lord's job is to heal. There is truth to that, but the way they're doing it, they're making the Lord more unrighteous than themselves. In other words, I prayed, and there's nothing wrong with my faith, so if the Lord doesn't heal them, then it's his fault. Now, that is not the truth. If it didn't happen, it's because you didn't believe. We're not going to lose them, are we? Recently, I'm going to pull somebody who visited the church recently. Got to have a meal with them. Beautiful person, loves Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost. Been suffering with fibromyalgia for 25 years. That's a painful one. Fibromyalgia. The thing of it is, that person's been saved and spirit-filled for all those 25 years, lives in another country. She said, I have been in the lines of every healing evangelist that has come through. I've been in their lines, and all of them have prayed for me. And I have yet to feel the power of God. That is going to change. That's going to change not just for the healing evangelist. You're all healing evangelists. God's raising up an army that's going to be like Joel. See, you ever read Joel? It's like the reason it looks like locusts, that's the closest thing that God could use to describe this last day army. You ever see locusts? It's not just one big king locust, is it? It's an army of locusts. Hello, locusts. You're coming to devour everything the enemy ever did. Everything he ever did, you're going to eat it up. And in your wake is going to be left the results of the kingdom of God. There's an army. You're the army. Our job is to believe the gospel and to preach the gospel without shame and without compromise. Faith is not nearly so hard as we have made it out to be. God cannot lie. When it comes right down to it, the result you have is based on how much you believe that statement. Recently, B was nice enough to let me be, raise your hand, B, and not everybody was not, you know, she was nice enough to let me use her in one of my examples that I do all the time, and I don't want to reteach that, but something hit me after the service that I said inadvertently during it. In that example, I had asked B, which she didn't really do it, but it was just an example. I said, here, take a few dollars and go get some bread. We need some bread for communion. And so in my example, she left, but she wasn't back in 5 minutes. In other words, there was no manifestation of bread. But she did have my money. No, anyway. See, that's what we start doing with God, you know. Well, I prayed. But I don't see anything. I wonder this and I wonder that. And pretty soon that's called doubt. Okay. Amen. But in the course of that, and this didn't hit me till after the service. Like, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Okay. But it hit me after this. Because one of the statements I made in there, I said, see, what the only reason for doubt that B would bring back the bread is if I doubted her character. Because now here's the statement that I said that didn't hit me till later. I said, heaven and earth would pass away before she would not bring that bread. And it dawned on me. That's what Jesus meant when he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. If I said it, it is so. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Heaven and earth will pass away before he will not back up those words. Amen. We have got to come to the place where we believe that. Amen. The gospel is the power of God, and there's not another gospel coming. You've already got it. This is the gospel. There's not another one. I printed a little bit from his history. See if any of this sounds familiar. Hang on just a moment. Pages are sticking together. T.L. Osborne's I'm talking about. A great part of T.L. Osborne's success was his beloved wife, Daisy. They were married in 1942. I love this. T.L. was 18. Daisy was 17. I saw T.L., by the way, one time at an airport. Now, he didn't know me from Adam, but I knew him. And this was after Daisy had passed, actually. And I've seen T.L. on TV many, many, many times, but I've never seen him in person. I'm pretty short. T.L. comes to about here on me. This dude is short. And I got to noticing, he was wearing platform shoes. This dude is short. Millions saved. Millions healed around the world. But anyway, him and Daisy got married when T.L. was 18, she was 17. Now get this part. Now listen, shortly afterward, now at 17, 18, so maybe 20, young people, they committed to travel to India for 5 years as missionaries. Okay? That speaks pretty high of young people, doesn't it? Young married people. Only to return to America after just 1 year. Disappointed that they were unable to convince anyone to be a Christian there. They would show the people in India the Bible, and in return, the people would show them a different holy book, whatever book they used. When the Osbornes were unable to prove which book was true, they gave up and returned home in defeat. See, I've had that same experience in the prisons. When I was in the prisons every week, a lot of Muslims in prison. And I'd start telling them about the Bible, and they'd bring out their Koran, and we'd argue. I knew my Bible. They knew their Koran. Neither one of us could produce any power. We'd argue for a while, and both of us went more entrenched than when we came, but neither one of us persuaded the other one at all. See, this is why Jesus said, don't even leave Jerusalem until you've been in. Don't try and be my witness without the power. See? So they returned home in defeat. Osborne was a changed man after he had four encounters with Jesus. Now, boy, I have read these stories in the books. I have read so much about all these guys. He in one sentence, he jumped about a bunch. Let me tell you a little. See, what happened there, where T.L. was, is right where we are right now. Love Jesus, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, wanting to demonstrate Christ to a lost world, but no power. So he went on a journey of seeking. Hello, journey of seekers. Okay, he was right where we are. Let's learn from him. Let's see if we can leapfrog over some time here, okay? But he did start seeking more than ever, praying in the Holy Ghost, doing exactly what everything that Dave has taught us. Meditate the Word, pray in the Holy Ghost. He would also go and visit. If there was anybody that had any power coming through town, he would go see what they were doing, okay? And over the course of he doesn't say here, but I think it was a few years. Over the course of a few years, he had four encounters with Jesus. Hey, if you do this message, you're going to have some encounters of your own. Okay? One morning at 6, Jesus appeared to him. On another occasion, Osborne saw Jesus working through another preacher who was praying for the sick. Then Osborne experienced Jesus working through his own prayers. See, I've read that story. He didn't tell this, but I've read it. When he saw Jesus alive, what I mean is working through that preacher, he said, well, it's Jesus doing the work. And if he'll do it through him, he'll do it through me. I say it. If Jesus will work through anybody, he'll work through me. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. He'll work through me. See? Okay. All right. So he experienced Jesus working through his own prayers. Then finally, Osborne saw Jesus in the pages of the Bible. Does that sound like meditation to you? Does that sound like assimilation? In other words, he went through the same thing that we're going through right now. But it's time for us to leapfrog to the end. In fact, I'm going to leapfrog to the end of this. I just got to show you. One time he was at a meeting and people were asking him questions, you know. And this was like I don't mean a crusade. This was a meeting of ministers in a home. One person said, is there a price to be paid in the healing ministry? One preacher asked Osborne. The young man wanted to know how much prayer, fasting, and Bible reading it would take to be successful in ministry. Now notice how it's worded. Yes, there is a very high price to be paid, Osborne responded. But Jesus paid it all on the cross. See, all of our seeking, all of our fasting, all of our prayer and fasting deals with unbelief. It doesn't make you a power machine. Jesus is the power machine. The Holy Spirit is the manifester of that. Fasting and prayer and meditation, all of that transforms you from an unbelieving believer to a believing believer. And that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people can believe parts of the gospel and not believe the rest of it. All of my relatives on my dad's side, they all believe in the cross. They all believe in Jesus, the Savior, and the new birth. They'll fight you to the death over tongues or healing or apostles or for today. So you can be a believing believer in one part and an unbelieving believer in the rest of it. He's trying to make us believing believers in all the gospel. And each one of you be a T.L. Osborne and a Daisy Osborne. You understand what I'm saying? The one-man show, not thus saith the Lord, but I lose words. I know that I know that's what he's doing. He's raising up an army of them. It's really Joel's prophecy. Read it again, Joel chapter 2. It's an army. The enemy's going to have no defense against. Going to eat up everything he's done. Do away with it. So this evangelist here, he said, the one that had Osborne in his home and they're asking him questions, he said, in one sentence, he completely changed my theology. He said, when I first started in ministry, and by the way, this guy, he's had a healing evangelistic ministry now for many years, but this was when he was young. He said, I desperately wanted to see miracles happen when I preached. Well, don't we all? But see, the answer is not more power. You're going to see again, the answer is more gospel. Believing what's already been preached. Believing what's already been given us. Say it with me. The gospel is the power of God. I have all the power when I have all the gospel. He says, I finally had to realize that no matter, based on TL's answer, no matter how much I fast, I, how did Dave used to do that? I will never be able to heal someone through my own effort. Isn't that right? By myself, I can't heal a little toe, let alone cancer or HIV. Neither can I force anyone to get saved. You ever tried? Y'all heard the story about how I threw my Bible at Sue because she wouldn't go to church? That showed her the love of God, I'll tell you. Y'all don't even know the man she started out with, and I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. Don't tell me this guy, Dave's message won't change you. The Holy Ghost will change you now. Get this now. Healings, miracles, and salvations never happen because of our effort. They happen because of what Jesus did on the cross and at the whipping post. Amen? See, I know years ago when I was first starting on this journey that Pastor Dave put us on, the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, the day will come when you'll look back on, he says, you're going to understand the anointing and really flow in it. And he said, you're going to look back on these early days and just laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. I'm seeing really glimpses of that now. The simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of it. And it's not, we're all about prayer, we're all about fasting, we're all about meditation. TL had to go on a journey too. He wasn't able to produce the power, but it wasn't until he discovered Jesus. Can I say it that way? It dealt with the unbelief. And he went from no power. My goodness, if you read the history, millions healed. Millions saved. Through a guy who plainly says, I'm not real smart. But I'm available and God uses me. That gives me great hope. So I brought up this one thing here now. What if salvation, now this is my notes, not TL here. What if salvation was preached the same way that we preach healing? What if, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And today, you know, the cross is preached pretty accurately most places. And you can hear the gospel and be saved, right? Are we in agreement? But what if we preached salvation the same way healing is normally taught? We preach it something like this. Well, you can never be sure if it's His will to save you. Boy, that's a real faith builder, isn't it? Well, now, or how about this approach? Well, perhaps you should just glorify God while you remain in your sin. Don't be freed from it. Just glorify God in it. Isn't that the way healing has been preached? Remember the guy in the wheelchair that I tried to pray for that wouldn't let me pray for him? Oh, no. My whole ministry is to glorify God while I'm in this wheelchair. I said, sir, you can glorify God by telling how he got you out of the wheelchair. But that's not what he wanted, see? But what if we preach salvation? Okay, salvation time, you can't never, number one, you can never know for sure his will. He might save you. He might not. See, it's Rosie's just shaking her head. That is exactly what's been preached about healing. That's exactly what's been preached. And the reason I'm recommending those books, especially Christ, well, both of them. Christ the Healer, though, boy, that one does an excellent job of teaching. Healing is just as much in the atonement as salvation. If the blood won't save you, let me say it this way. If the blood won't heal you, the blood that he suffered at the whipping post, if that blood won't heal you, you can't be sure his blood will save you. Because they're both just as much in the atonement. God can't say no to anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord. God can't say no to them to be saved. And anyone that calls upon those stripes on his back, God can't say no to their healing. If he was to say no to it, he'd have to stop being God. Because God cannot lie. Okay. We're back to preaching salvation the way healing's been taught. Well, number one, you can never be sure if it's his will to save you. Perhaps you should just glorify God while you remain in your sin. How about this one? Well, perhaps your sin is for God's glory. Don't tell me you haven't heard that. I bet you heard that. That blind man, the way they interpret that verse. Oh, but for the glory of God, this man was born blind. The way they preach it. Well, maybe you just ought to stay in your, instead of being healed of your blindness, maybe you ought to just stay in your sin. Glorify God in your sin. It's ridiculous. How about this one? Somebody come to get saved now. And we preach salvation the same way we preached healing. Now, not here at this church. I'm talking about at large. Well, perhaps God is using your sin to punish you. Or perhaps he's using your sin to teach you. That's why he won't save you today. Now, you can't be saved today because you're not through with your teaching yet. You have to stay in that sin until God gets through teaching you. Isn't that silly? How about that? I like this one. Just be patient in your sin until it's God's will to save you. I see people don't say it that way, but I've actually heard this trying to minister healing to people. They'll say, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. How many of you have heard that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What if you turned it right around and said, well, if God wants to save me, he'll save me. Ridiculous. He already did everything that has to be done to save you.
Amen.
It's up to you to act on it.
Right.
Well, trust me, he's already done everything he has to do to heal you.
Right.
Act on it. Of course, this one's real common. Well, the day of, preachers that'll stand up and preach the cross, they'll in another breath say, well, the day of miracles is over. The day of healing is past. What if we preach salvation like that? Well, the day of salvation is past. Nobody can be saved anymore. Sorry. You're born too late. Sorry for you. It's past. Nothing you can do. Isn't it crazy? My all-time favorite is this one. God does want to save you. Yes, my brother. But just not today. It's not his timing. Keep seeking him for salvation. Maybe one day you'll find that it's his timing to save you. Ridiculous to the 10th power, isn't it? But that is exactly the way the church at large has taught healing. Nobody would ever have faith for salvation if it was taught that way. So we wonder, how come more people don't get healed? It's not being taught. It's not being taught as accurately as salvation. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that right? I don't want to leave anything out. Okay, that's a good one there. All right. Go to Mark 16 again. I know you, before long, you know how our Bibles would fall open to Romans 8? They're going to be falling open to Mark 16 before we're done, I think. I want to read this paragraph while you're turning. See, he said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So believing is important, okay? The church today is full of unbelieving believers. And what I mean by that is they believe parts of the gospel. They do not believe the full gospel. Many people are born again because they heard the message of the cross accurately. They believe that part of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit released the power, dunamis, to manifest the new birth, the new creature within them. Said another way, somebody preached the gospel of salvation to them. And the Lord worked with that word. And their new birth was the supernatural outcome. Amen? They heard the gospel of salvation. I'm talking about the new birth part. It was true. It was accurate. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, worked with that word. And they became a new creature. Amen? But we are called to preach the gospel of salvation in every realm that Jesus paid the price for it. With His stripes, we were healed. See? And we're to be supernatural witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive. The simple gospel, if you're going to share over your Starbucks coffee or at the restaurant or at work with your neighbor, Jesus is alive. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus loves you. He already paid the price for your sin, every failure. If you'll receive Him, you can be born again. Oh, by the way, He also took a whipping, scourged by the Romans, so God could have mercy on you, and with His stripes you were healed. Jesus is alive. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. It's simple. And when I lay my hands on you, the power of God's going to go into you and you will be healed. Fibromyalgia or any other name that is named. Because the name of Jesus is above every name. So you can have faith on either end. I'm preparing a document now that, you know, who was the sick, who had faith to manifest the healing. Sometimes it's the person. Thank God. I think the best way to get healed is for you to get healed on your faith. You know, that way you know how you got it. And that way when the devil comes, you can keep it because you can fight back. Okay? But we all know the gifts of the Spirit. You can get healed by somebody operating in the gifts. Okay? But when the devil comes around on a counterattack, a lot of times, you know, you'll lose that healing and you don't know how to get it back. You got to try and chase that fella down. Where is he today? He's in Omaha. You get to Omaha. No, he went to Denver. Oh, man. But see, sometimes they got healed on their faith. Sometimes they got healed on Jesus' faith. That lame man at the gate, beautiful, it's obvious he got healed on Peter's faith. Guy wasn't asking to be healed, didn't have any faith to be healed at all. Peter hadn't had that name and faith in that name, see? But we are called to believe the gospel. Now, Mark 16, we'll just pick it up in verse 17. These signs, now, again, classroom, please underline, if you can, in your Bible, the word signs. These signs. Why do they put big billboards up along the highway? They're trying to point you to their business, aren't they? It's a big sign. You need to know about this restaurant. You need a biscuit from that place. It's a sign to you. Sign to the hungry. Let me say it. It's a sign. Or if you need gas. It's a sign to point you somewhere. Well, these signs are to point people to the living Jesus. They're not for any, for in the church, you're already saved. These signs are for the unbeliever. See? So the 11 went out, they preached the gospel, people believed it. Then they went out and they preached, just Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, we don't know their names, they went out and preached the gospel. And when they laid hands on the sick, those people got saved and healed and delivered. And then that was God's plan from the beginning. These signs, it's a sign to the unbeliever. Don't tell me He won't heal the unbeliever. It's a sign to that unbeliever. It is a sign to the unbeliever. This happens on your faith. Now, he by definition is an unbeliever. That's why it's assigned to them. But you're the believer. You're the believing believer. That would be a good title. Believing believers. It's a sign. These signs shall follow them that believe. Hello, believers. He says, in my name they shall cast out devils. Say it with me again. I am God's child.
I am man's
servant.
And I am Satan's master.
When I speak,
heaven hears and agrees.
Hell hears and obeys.
Even the devils are subject
unto me.
Through his name.
Amen?
Amen?
So in my name they'll cast out devils, see?
They'll speak with new tongues.
Hallelujah.
They'll take up serpents.
Now this is not the Kentucky
or Tennessee type of service,
where they bring snakes
into the church and you
handle them to show your
faith. You're going to
die.
You
don't find anything
like that in the book of
Acts. No.
But if you're out
witnessing or doing anything
and Satan
sends some kind of snake
to bite you,
you can have the
same faith as Paul.
Shake that thing off in
the fire.
You got the
promise from the lips
of Jesus himself.
This is
supernatural.
Holy Ghost will
neutralize that
poison.
If they try and
poison you, it says here,
if
you drink any deadly
thing,
if they do it on
purpose or by accident,
but you're on his,
you're seeking first the
kingdom,
Holy Ghost
will neutralize that
poison too.
See, people
think you're crazy when
you talk like that.
Thank
God.
You're not supposed to
think like the world.
Isn't that right?
Not supposed to
be conformed to the world.
Wait till
you start walking on the
water, but that's another
thing here.
And again,
you don't do that
trying to prove anything
either.
You'll find out
that won't work.
They
shall lay...
So, okay, let's get
it all. They shall
take up serpents.
If they drink any
deadly thing,
it shall not
hurt them.
They shall
lay hands on the
sick,
and they
shall recover.
Now, let's
cut to it right now.
I'm
not going to ask you, I'll
talk about me. I
have laid my hands
on all three of
those people that died
last year.
They did not
recover.
Now, I could tell
you about dozens more.
I could also
tell you about ones I
prayed for that they did
recover.
Now, see, if you're not
careful, your mind
will start generating
false doctrine.
You'll start
thinking, well, it's his
will to heal some,
but it's not his will to
heal others. That's a
lie from the pit of hell.
That's a lie
from the pit of hell.
He died for
all.
He died for all.
He took those
stripes for all.
That is not
the issue.
Well, it's just not
always his timing.
Baloney.
Jesus
never once in anybody
ways said,
come back Thursday.
We'll see
if he'll heal you Thursday.
No.
No.
It's our unbelief.
It's our unbelief.
We're working
on the part of us that
does not believe until
we do believe.
And I don't believe
it's going to take 10 more
years.
I don't think it's going to take
10 more months.
I believe
that
you in here
and you listening,
you're going to be laying
hands on the sick
and seeing them recover
in
days.
Might be
weeks, but I'm not
going to give you much more than
that.
Because
it's true right now.
It's already
true.
It's already
ours.
You can
jump over
some stuff and let's
just believe this and
get on with it.
Well, what if
I pray and it doesn't
happen?
You can't be moved
by what you see.
Now, this
young lady, or
this young person
I told you about that had
fibromyalgia for
25 years, she's
somewhat discouraged, wouldn't you?
What
does that mean? I'm not
supposed to pray for her?
Pray
for her with all the
faith that I have?
I want to...
No,
that's another lesson.
Yes, sir. Okay.
He has to
rein me in sometimes.
Did I ever
read it? Let me read
it. Mark 16:17.
These signs
shall follow them that
believe. In my
name shall they
cast out devils.
They shall
speak with new tongues.
They shall take up
serpents. If
they drink any
deadly thing,
it shall not hurt
them. Boy, that's
supernatural.
They shall
lay hands on the
sick,
and they shall recover,
and that's supernatural.
So after
the, so then, after
the Lord had spoken
unto them, he was
received up into
heaven
and sat on
the right hand of
God.
And
they went forth,
now this is the 11,
and
preached everywhere,
the
Lord working with,
notice
them is in italics,
you ought to strike right
through it.
He was
working with
them, but that's not really
the issue. It's the gospel is the power. If you strike through that them, it makes more sense. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word. You could put gospel right there. Confirming the word with signs following. So let's look at the sequence here. We can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Did Jesus believe the gospel? When he preached, did signs follow? Okay. Then he sends out the 11. We're reading that right here. He sends out the 11. They believe the gospel. When they preach, did the signs follow? Absolutely. Then those who heard the 11, they believed the gospel. And the signs followed them too. Last week I did a message out of Acts. I didn't bring that verse with me. But it's men from Cyprus and another place that were not even told their names. But they are exactly some of these that heard the 11 preach. And then they went to another place. And it says the hand of the Lord was with them. You know why? Because they were preaching the gospel. And they had results. And so will we. That's the progression. When we believe today, signs follow the gospel. Now never forget, it is the Lord working with and confirming the word. See, this is why I'm understanding better. Dave has talked about a healing evangelist. I'm not going to mention the name, but one that he's acquainted with. This guy had absolute... with him, it was mostly the gifts of the Spirit, okay? But he had miracles. No denying the miracles that would happen in this man's ministry. If that same guy in the next breath would turn around and charge you $300 for a prophecy. I have a word for you. For $300, I'll give it to you. You never find Jesus doing anything like that, see? And for the longest time, I couldn't figure this out. Well, how in the... But see, the Lord works with the Word. He works with the Word. You can have all kinds of flaws. See, this mortifying the flesh and transformation of the mind. And when Alan talks about growing up, do you know really that's more for your protection than it is for the power? See, if you're still greedy... and the power really begins to manifest through you, you're going to be another one charging $300. If you still have to have the glory to survive, trust me, if you're around this very long, all that dies. The only person you care about if he likes you is Jesus. Okay? But if you still got to be loved and admired and you need the exaltation of people, trust me, the devil sees that handle sticking out of you a mile wide. And it's free. He'll bring destruction through it. That's why Jesus said right before the cross, he said that the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Meaning the enemy was coming, sniffing for, I like how Dave said it, sniffing around for handles. Even with Jesus. To see if he could find greed, lust, self-exaltation, self-ambition, any of the things. Pride. All of those things that we do is to grow up so that we don't have those handles sticking out on us either. It's really more for your protection than it is the release of the power. The gospel is the release of the power. That's why you can have guys that they understand enough of it where they preach the gospel accurately and the Holy Spirit will move. But they should wear a t-shirt. Handles are us. You know, they run off with the money, they run off with the secretary, they run off with the money and the secretary, and nowadays it could be male or female. Or both. In one, anyway. That's another message for sure. Go to Mark. You're in Mark already. Back up to chapter 1. You'll see this. We're just going to look at verses 14 and 15. It says, now after that John, and that's John the Baptist, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. Now what is he preaching? He is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what was his message? The time is fulfilled. Modern language, we'd say, The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Again, I'll tell you, if anything is at my hand, it means it's available to me now. It's not beyond my reach. It's at hand. If it's at hand, it's mine. I have to bring it to me, but it's at hand. Amen? And so what's his message? Repent and believe the gospel. Boy, if that's not his message to the prayer center today. Pray, fast, get rid of those handles. Let the Holy Ghost purge you. Get that flesh on the cross where it belongs. Get rid of those handles so that, because I'm telling you, the power, manifestations of power are going to so increase around here. We are actually going to come into revival. And I don't mean 10 years from now. I mean right away. The time is now. Let the Holy Spirit purge you. Fast like you've never fasted before. It's not to produce the power. It's really to protect you. Fast like you've never fasted. Pray like you've never prayed. Young man over here, he heard Nathan, I think, mention that assimilation form. I didn't do it. They made it for me in Korea because I preached on it over there. But it's just a little document where it's easy for you to keep track of how many times you've read each book. He heard it one time. He says, can you email me that? I'm going to put it out. I'm going to put that form out beside this message just in case anybody's hearing this and you don't have it. Okay? Start doing it. The time is fulfilled. The time is now. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a few more things here from T.L. Actually, the way he said it, he said, if God had smarter people, he'd use them. But we're all he's got. Do you know I feel exactly that same way? Does that give you encouragement or what? You know? Said T.L. preached a simple. Have you ever heard any of his messages? Simplest thing. It's just like, the most, brought it down to like the fifth grade level, just simple sentences, He preached a simple message. He said every message needs four parts. Somehow or some way, you need these four parts. God's creation, number one, God's creation. Number two, Satan's deception, or you could say the fall. Three, Christ's substitution. And in four, our restoration. And there it is. That's the gospel. He said Osborne's preaching would lift people up and make them feel valuable. Doesn't Dave do that when, I could come in feeling, so low I could crawl under a snake's belly. Y'all ever been that low? That's really low. I felt like I could do it with a top hat on. That's low. Before I left, Dave had me feeling like a champion again. I'm ready to go pray, ready to go fast again. Charge into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again, Amen? So he would do that. He says, T.L. would say things like this. Can you imagine in India where there's such a caste system? Do you know what I mean by that? Then they teach these people from birth, you're nothing, you never will be anything. Anyway, he would say, you are valuable. Don't you ever put yourself down. How can you crawl when you're the child of a king? How can you beg when you have the wealth of the universe? How can you burn out when God is the strength of your life? How can you moan when God has put a song in your heart? And how can you die inside when Christ is your life? God. We're going to preach on the corner right now. I'm going to tell you this. Dave's book has been so powerful. Do y'all know on Dave's book now, it's printed right on the front in red letters, not for sale. Now, T.L. always sold his books. By the way, that book, I forgot to tell you this part. His book, Healing the Sick. Now, it's available in PDF format for free online. Just do Healing the Sick PDF, and you'll find it. Or if you want to have a hardback, you can buy one, or a paperback. Anyway, this evangelist who gave this report, this is the one where T.L. came and answered those questions in the house and so forth. He said, I was once in the Congo in Africa, preaching in a mud hut packed with over 200 people. Jerry, can you relate? Chickens were pecking their way across the dirt floor. Jerry, for those of you who don't know, Jerry and his wife, they're just youngins. How old are you, Jerry? He's 80 now. Of course, he robbed the cradle with his wife there, but anyway. But they're missionaries still to Zimbabwe. And they're going to Peru, I understand, pretty quick, you know. Anyway, so he's been there with the chickens pecking across the floor while you preach. See, chickens pecked their way across the dirt floor as the congregation enthusiastically praised the Lord. Said, I glanced over at the young pastor and noticed he was holding his Bible and another dog-eared book that was carefully covered in gray duct tape. I said, show me what you're reading, I asked. And when he handed me the book, I recognized the title, and it was written by T.L. Osborne. I asked, well, where did you get this book? He replied, 20 years ago, Dr. Osborne came to my nation. My father got saved at his meeting and became a pastor. Dr. Osborne gave him this book, and for 20 years, my father has preached his sermons from this book. Last year, my father died, and I am now the pastor of the church, and now I preach from the same book. The power of a book. The lives that have been changed by that one. The lives that have been changed by Pastor Dave's. Do you ever notice the title? I think the church has focused too much on the first half of it. Or maybe we didn't. Maybe we had to focus on the first half before we could get to the last half. You ever notice the title of that book? It's not called just The Walk of the Spirit, is it? The Walk of the Spirit. The Walk of Power. We're coming into the walk of power now. I love that. Now, I got 5 more minutes. You're okay. This is. He said, Dr. Osborne came to my home on three occasions to address a group of preachers on evangelism. We carefully prepared a list of questions. This is proof positive that T.O. was a preacher. He says, because we asked him the first question, and he took 3.5 hours to answer. Was the man a preacher? The man's a preacher. one of the questions was, how did God create the world? Now, see if any of this sounds familiar, people. Well, he used his words. Everything God does, he does by his words. In the Bible, we have his word, his talk. I've never heard it said like that. This is his talk. I've never heard it said like that. We have the same ability to talk. Do people get saved, blessed, and healed when you talk? He says, they do when I talk. Why is he saying that? Because he's filled with his talk. See, if you're filled with his talk, when you speak, people will get blessed, healed, and saved. He says, you are like God. You have the ability to speak. God's word is seed. When you speak God's words, they will work. There it is. We can leapfrog all the way to the end, and it's going to boil down to believers have to believe. Jesus cannot lie. Yes, sir. We'll finish up here in John 14. It's no more difficult than this. This is it right here. To believe this. Starting in verse 11. Or actually, let's start in verse 9. Actually, verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? See, do you all know you can say the same thing? You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And he said, I in them, and thou in me. The Father's in you too. See? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Here it is. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. They see that word believe? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. If that's all we had, it'd be enough, wouldn't it? But look, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Remember what we said about B? Heaven and earth will pass away before she won't keep her word to you. Jesus is saying heaven and earth will pass away before I won't manifest this. It'd be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for my word to fail. So let's just say it. Here, quote it with me. You feel more responsible if it comes out of your mouth. Said, Jesus said, whatever I ask in his name, he will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if I shall ask anything in his name, he will do it. See, I'd say, I am a believing believer. When I lay hands on the sick, they recover. Because Jesus cannot lie. Heaven and earth would have to pass before his word will not be true. I'll say it again. When I lay hands on the sick, in the name of Jesus, they recover.